All right, open your Bible. Feel free to ask questions afterwards or whatnot. Hopefully it gives you a little bit better idea of what in the world of these letters that he's talking about. It's hard, not the typical missionary. And every missionary is very important. My job is not any more important than any other missionary, or even yours. But it's a little bit different. So I hope you can see a little bit just how God guides and does things. He'll do that in anybody's life. Just direct and lead. He's always working in the background. You don't see. And I tell you what, I've been so discouraged there. I've been so down about things going on and blessing, I have something to tell you about when I get back, because I was worried. Here I go. I've been over in the Philippines doing nothing. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Kind of a little bit of testimony here. Our pastor, every Sunday morning, at least when I was there, as much as I remember, even this morning, he hit it. He always touched bases with the gospel. And at some point or another, in every message that I remember or have listened to, Sunday morning, he'd always bring the gospel around. And, this morning when he closed out Sunday school, I'm just like, we're done already? I love Sunday school. I mean, let's just keep going. Let's go through this lay hold. I want to learn more. I have a lot to learn. I'm not the best teacher. I'll sit down and learn some more and all this stuff. And, Sunday morning would come and you hear the gospel. I got saved at a young age. I got saved at 6. I've been in church my whole life, minus maybe 1 or 2 years in the military. But I went to church in a gospel preaching church my whole life. I never tallied or tried to tally that up, how many times you would hear the gospel. Obviously, and we weren't in the greatest churches, but we heard the gospel. Clear, loud, and plain. And I went even to a Christian school for a while, and the principal there, I mean, his favorite thing was to preach on hell and scare the fire out of you, and that's where I got saved, and I've just heard the gospel so many times. So pastor would come to Sunday morning, and I'd be ready to fall asleep. Here we go, another gospel message. And he always twists it around different way. I mean, he brings it out just really cool. But it's the gospel again. I've heard this already. I'll pray, Lord, if anybody in here is not saved, this message is for them, but not for me. And that was my attitude for many years. The gospel. Who's it for? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That gospel has the cross in it. So in the next verse, he says, for the preaching of the cross, that's the gospel there, is to them that perish foolishness. Right? Isn't that what the gospel's for, to save people? I mean, he came, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And he came in, and that gospel's for a sinner. He needs to get saved. Christ Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He rose again the third day. And, of course, I'm going to skip a little bit of what they think of it. I'm sure you've heard it many times. But the lost think of it as foolishness. Putting faith in something, your blood's going to wash my heart and clean. This guy rose from the 2,000 years. What in the world is that? Scientifically, demonstrably proven and, they can't. It's not faith. Faith believes what God said, and they can't do that. And they won't do it. To them, it's foolish to do it. And going on farther here, I want to get to the point of the message here. Verse number 18, he says, but unto us which are saved, it, talking about the gospel, is the power of God. I don't know in life, but probably many of you have felt the same way as me, where, Lord, there's no power in my life. I feel pretty weak. And I've looked a lot through this a lot, but Paul talked about the gospel a lot. You ever notice that? I mean, in the gospels or in his epistles, he mentions the word gospel 75 times. I mean, just over and over, gospel, 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 gospel. That was his ministry, he says, is the gospel. To get that gospel, he called that gospel a glorious gospel of the blessed God. And that gospel was dear to Paul. And he preached it, and he says, unto us which are saved. I believe the gospel is for the saved as much as it is for the lost. If not even a little bit more. I won't argue on that point. But man, we need the gospel. Say, why? It's our power. We're going to look at that just a tad bit here tonight. But that's the Christian's cleansing, right? Where does it come from? It comes from the blood of the cross. That cleansing. What about your motivation? Doesn't that come from the cross? Doesn't that come from the gospel? What he did, that good news, your example? We'll go through a little bit more of these things. Your eternal life starts with the gospel. Your encouragement. Nobody loves you. Somebody loved you enough to die for you. Can't that keep you going? Boy, how many times is that encouragement just thinking of the gospel? And the gospel will get you through a lot. It really will. It's what brings your inheritance. What does it come from? Receiving the gospel. That gospel is incredibly important, and that's I have different titles for this message, but we'll just lay it at the importance of the gospel. I'll make dumb, stupid ones. We'll move on, and I'll let Pastor come up with a better title. but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at this. This is funny. This verse number 2. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you. And that to me is hilarious. And there's some context around it, but as Pastor was preaching this morning, who knew more than the Apostle Paul besides Jesus Christ? I mean, God revealed to him things that nobody else knew. Paul studied all those things that other people knew, and then God showed him a whole lot more how it blossomed and, you know, fit all together. And the Apostle Paul, I mean, if there's someone who knew more Bible than anybody else, it'd be that guy. I imagine he'd struggle with self-righteousness a lot. That's my imagination. And boy, just how much knowledge and wisdom that God gave him. And of course, you know, God gave him the thorn in the flesh, and I'm getting off my message already. But he said, I determined, this is his determination, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul's goal and desire and want was the gospel. Paul knew a lot. I mean, he wrote all these things, but boy, what he was really after. He says that I may know Him. How's that? And the power of His resurrection, isn't that part of the gospel? And the fellowship of His sufferings, isn't that part of the gospel? Being made conformable unto His death. And we'll see how that, where I'm going with this here. 1 Corinthians 15, doesn't he say, moreover, brethren? It doesn't say, moreover, lost people. I declare unto you the gospel, you need to get right and get saved. No, he says, brethren, you need this. And, you know, I think of this, you can tie it a little bit with Hebrews chapter 13. I've seen a lot of bright, intelligent people just get messed up because they're stuck in all this meat of the Bible and trying to dissect things, and the gospel is just the cross. No, I want to see all these things, how they work, and calculate it, and put it all down on paper, and graph it, and make everything make sense in the gospel. It just kind of goes out the window. And Paul, he wasn't like that. He kept mentioning the gospel. The gospel was the most important thing, I believe, to Paul. He says, I preach in the gospel. I'm not here to baptize. I'm not here to lay hands on you. I'm not here to this. I'm going to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That is my ministry. That's what God had me do. That's what I'm going to do. And he did it over and over and over. And it's something you should occupy yourself with. Well, he said, what should I occupy myself with? The gospel. Think about it a lot. This has helped me a real lot in my life, and I hope it could be a help to you if not think of it, but you think about all the songs that are written. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Why? Because we tend to get away from it. There, a precious fountain, help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Why? Because you need that cross. That cross for you and me is the power of God. You say, how is it the power? Well, that's we have 2 points tonight for 5 minutes. Okay, Romans chapter 6. Go there real quick. Romans chapter 6. We know these things here, right? Our old man is crucified. All your old mans are crucified, right? How many of you have holes in your wrist? I checked. I said, hey, knowing this, our old man is crucified with him. My head feels fine. I don't have a hole in my side. How am I crucified? Right? And we understand the difference between standing and staying. Potato chip. Our old man is crucified. In God's eyes, it's done deal. Crucified. We understand that. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Our problem is we don't see us the way God sees us. And we have to likewise reckon ourselves to be dead. Now, how do you kill yourself? How do you put something under? I'll tell you a great place to go, if you don't know, go to the cross. You want to kill something? Bring it to the cross. That's a great place to kill something. That's where sin was killed. Sin was defeated there at the cross. The cross is where a good place to get victory over these things. He says, we're crucified with him that henceforth we should not serve sin. And that sin can be, you know, living and dwelling in you and having dominion. How is that thing crucified? I believe in your mind, going and visiting the cross and putting those things down, killing them. Killing them. And it's something that takes place in the mind, right? Reckoning yourself in your mind that you are dead, mortifying your members. You're not killing yourself physically. It's a spiritual thing, right? And sin is destroyed at Calvary. You have some sin, bring it to Him at Calvary. Say, God, I have a sin problem. I need it destroyed. I need to die daily. Where do I die? Same place He did. Same place He did. We're supposed to be crucified with Him, right? You got to confess your sins? Where do you do that? Well, you can do it on your knees and just bring it to Him. But that blood from the gospel will come and cleanse that sin all away. Right? And He says, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Where do we go? Calvary's the answer. Calvary was Paul's focus. Say, how did... street preaching was great yesterday. And all this talking, nervousness. But go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And you crucified, or needing to be crucified. Both, right? Both. He says, and they, in verse 24, Galatians 5, 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Bang. Crucify those affections. Crucify that flesh. Crucify those lusts. And he goes through it. We won't go through it all, and the pastor's gone through it numerous times. The difference, you can see it in 25. Live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You're saved, right? There's two parts. You are crucified, but now, daily, you need to die and be crucified. I just heard a message, I don't know if I heard it before, but you have two spots in your heart, a throne and a cross. If you're on the throne, then Christ is on the cross. Christ is on the throne, you're on the cross. You have to be crucified. And that's, of course, what Jesus Christ said. And that's what Paul teaches. You need to die daily. He said, how do you do that? Prayer visit. Now, I go to the cross a lot. I try and envision, but think a lot about the cross. One of the most moving things to me was Dr. Ruckman's ad-lib. Going through the cross. And what he thought about it. That man thought about the cross a lot. And of course, the ad-lib was just his time. He just could spend tons of time with it and just vividly play it out. And boy, man, tears just go, you know, and then he rises from the dead and he just up and down all over the place and different things. But wow, that man thought about the gospel a lot. I believe Pastor thinks a lot about the gospel. You say, why? Because he preaches about it all the time. I got sick of it. The pastor, can't we preach about something else? No, he needs to keep preaching the gospel. That's what he needs to be doing. And that gospel is going to get you through. Look at chapter 6, verse 14. So Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The closer you are, or the farther away you are from the cross, the closer you are to the flesh, the closer you are to the world, the closer you are to the devil. Because the cross is where that world is going to make a separation. It's going to crucify the flesh. The cross doesn't like the flesh, and the flesh doesn't like the cross. That gospel is going to help get victory. All excuses are removed at Calvary. Right? I mean, you go to Calvary, you have shame, look at him. You were alone, go to him. Well, you can't love somebody, go to him. I mean, your excuses are removed. You were done wrong, yeah, and you didn't deserve it, yep. All these things, unconditional love, yep. Did he complain? Come on, complain once, please. No, did he lose his temper? Paul, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Did he complain? Man, there's your example. You can't get one through thing through if you go to the gospel. If you go to the cross, he will get you through every time because he knows exactly what it's like. He'll get you through. You can't go through the reproach, ridicule. You think of it, I mean, I have things here I want to read about Roman crucifixion and the brain just failing and exhaustion and the, you know, the nerve points, that pinch point. Just take yourself and just pinch yourself real good there. Oh, man, that's a pressure point. Yeah, right there, that's a good pressure point there. You know, there's pressure points in your body. And hanging on those nails, excruciating, and things you can read about it. But look at the last thing here, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Don't just die. Don't just kill yourself at the cross, but come alive. Right? Look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Lord, I'm not getting this. This is just above me, theological understanding. Right, we understand this. This isn't that hard. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's working through you. I can see he's alive in me. Boy, I've done some things I wouldn't normally do. I've done some things like, Lord, hey, what in the world am I doing up here? I would never get up here if you paid me. Why in the world am I up here? Why am I in the Philippines? Why in the world would I care about a Filipino? I don't care about any of you, much less a Filipino. I care about me. The Bible will make a major change in you, won't it? And Galatians 2:20 says, "Life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." What is that faith? Who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, that cross will motivate you. It'll stir you up. It'll bring you life because he didn't stay dead. He doesn't want you just to die. He wants your old man to die, but he wants that new man to burst up and bring forth fruit unto God. He says in Romans 7. So don't just kill that thing. Let it bring forth fruit. You know, people love to tell news, right? Oh, any news I can find out, who can I tell? But there's one news people don't like to tell. That's the greatest news this earth ever could hear. You know why? Because people think it's foolishness. People are afraid of ridicule. People are afraid of what people say and laugh, and they do. I mean, they're merciless in ridicule. Go to the cross. Too long I've lain me down to sleep and prayed the Lord my soul to keep. I should awake before I die and realize time is passing by. And rise and go and tell the lost, despite my plans, despite the cost. Too long I've lain me down to sleep while multitudes about me weep and utter cries of dark despair, for no one ever seems to care. My life is short and soon I'll stand with sinner's blood upon my hands, unless I wake before I die and realize time is passing by. Are you risen with Christ? Says, seek those things up there. Set your affection up there. Well, boy, those things, not on the earth. This thing will change your life. If you remember Calvary every day, it'll make a major difference in your life. How you live your life, how you care about things, things will be more temporary down here. You just won't care as much. They'll still mean something to you. But God will be able to fill you with fruit. And power will be able to flow through you. The Word of God can go forth with power when that gospel's there. So, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for